This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. In Cuba, things are changing. Just this week, the Cuban government started loosening restrictions to allow Cubans to travel more freely outside their country. As part of the WBUR series this week, which we're calling Cuba Opens Through Art, yesterday we got to know a Boston-based art dealer who travels to Cuba to buy art. Today, we explore how artists there have risen to a privileged spot in Cuban society. WBUR's Andrea Shea reports it's a position that's shifting as the socialist country becomes more open to market forces.
Just 30 days ago, Fidel Castro entered Havana to be greeted by cheering mobs as one of the greatest heroes in Cuba's history.
When Fidel Castro took power in 1959, Americans were terrified. The specter of communism was just 90 miles off the coast of Florida. But while U.S. anxiety was high outside Cuba, some fascinating social changes were underway inside. Castro had a utopian vision for the country. His aim was to take an aggressive approach to promoting education, science, and all forms of culture. In fact, 60-year-old Cuban painter Adele Bordone claims he wouldn't be an artist if it hadn't been for Castro's revolution.
Nice work.
As a group of U.S. art collectors surveys his work in his Havana home studio, Adele recalls his impoverished childhood on a farm in the mountains through tour operator Silvia Wilhelm.
Donde yo vivía no había luz eléctrica.
Where he lived, there was no electricity.
No carretera.
No highways.
No escuela.
No schools.
Yo empecé a la escuela a los 9 años.
So he started school when he was 9 years old.
Cuando hicieron una escuela.
When the revolution triumphed and they made a school, he was able to study all the way to his bachelor's degree.
Adele actually earned 2 art degrees after 13 years of study, tuition free, and he's been a professor at the San Alejandro School of Art in Havana for 20 years. That said, he's quick to say the revolution was not perfect and shouldn't be thought of that way. Countless Cubans have been persecuted during Castro's rule, basic freedoms have been denied, and most Cubans only earn the equivalent of $20 a month. But since that early period, artists have benefited from Castro's ideals. They sit high on the socioeconomic ladder, wholeheartedly supported by both the Cuban government and the people. And this wasn't just a result of Castro's vision. In 1991, he was forced to respond to the fall of Soviet communism. That event had a devastating impact on Cuba's economy.
Good evening. The red flag came down over the Kremlin tonight as President Gorbachev resigned and brought to an end 7 decades of communist rule in the Soviet Union.
Industry in Cuba ground to a halt without the Soviet Union's support. Fuel was scarce. Severe food rationing was imposed. Many Cubans fled, artists included. The crisis forced Castro to usher in what's called the special period.
We're in a special period, one of the most difficult periods in our history. Why? Because we're alone confronting the empire.
In a move to save his now isolated island nation, the socialist leader turned to the U.S. dollar and the promise of tourism. He also recognized art as a significant export. Painters, printmakers, sculptors were granted the right to sell their work, and the international art market came calling, including the U.S., because of an exception to the U.S. trade embargo. Boston gallery owner Michelle Wojcik deals exclusively in Cuban art.
Art in Cuba is extremely important culturally, but also it's been, since the 90s, one of the few things that Cubans have been able to do as private enterprise.
To put this in perspective, just about everything in Cuba is owned and run by the government. So being allowed to sell anything independently has been rare. When I ask if it's accurate to say Cuban artists have been privileged since then, Boston gallery owner Michelle Wojcik says,
"That's safe to say. They are. They can travel, they can conduct business directly, and they can buy cars. Yes, they have had a certain amount of privilege."
"And I was in the Times Square. Can you imagine a Cuban in the Times Square?"
42-year-old painter Luis Rodriguez, also known as Noah, is another of Michelle's artists and, because of his status, was free to travel to New York and Boston in 2011.
"It was like, wow, This is how far the human being can go with technology.
Noah is a leader among the new generation of Cuban artists who've been able to capitalize on what many here call an inverted pyramid, where an artist can make a living in his or her chosen field, but a lawyer or doctor might end up driving a cab. Noah lives in a crumbling building with his wife and 3-year-old daughter. Collectors in Switzerland and the U.S. follow his work. Now he's thrilled to welcome a group of Michel's American clients to his Havana studio, which he's been renovating for 10 years.
You must be feeling like I was feeling in the U.S. I think another planet.
Yes. Noah says he's very optimistic about Cuba's future. Just this week, the Cuban government lifted 2 long-despised travel restrictions, including the need for an exit visa, making it easier for all Cubans to leave the island for family visits abroad, for work, or possibly for good.
I am 42 years old, and I never see before a change like that, because it was always like a difficult thing, a hard thing for Cubans to go out, because you need so many papers and money as well.
Raul Castro, former leader Fidel Castro's younger brother, has been rolling out all kinds of reforms. Over the past 2 years, he's created 181 job categories, allowing a limited number of people to operate small independent businesses, like beauty salons and street stalls. But for 51-year-old painter Orestes Goliak, the changes are a mixed blessing. As music filters in from a neighbor's house, Goliak speaks through Sylvia, the interpreter.
It is with the new changes in Cuba, the new possibilities to get licenses, a lot of the artisans are occupying a lot of that space. So they're like expanding the artisans.
The flood of artisans means less studio space, and Goliak recently lost his old studio downtown and had to move into his mother's place in the Vedado section of Havana.
There's a lot of competition going on. Competition is good.
And even with more competition and more freedoms, the lack of materials is still a major obstacle for Cuban artists. Gallery owner Michelle Wojcik says the 50-year-old U.S. trade embargo has left them with a chronic shortage.
People were complaining about the lack of paint right now. 2 years ago was the lack of paper. And so if you're an artist and you need to produce new works to sell, you need your materials. I mean, it's quite basic.
And there are many more paradoxes. Art school is free, but taxes are high once you start working. The Cuban artists I spoke with say they're able to express themselves through their work, but others keep defecting. Painter Noah acknowledges that supporting and promoting the arts and culture is good for the Cuban government's image, better than, say, highlighting its notorious human rights record. But he truly believes art can be a kind of nourishment and salvation, especially when times are extra hard, like when there's a hurricane.
People are looking for food to have during the hurricane, but they are also looking to have a radio, at least, to listen to music while the hurricane is there, and if possible, to dance. Do you know what I mean?
And right now, 11 million Cubans are looking forward, speculating about the future and what a post-Castro Cuba might look like. Plenty of people are wary of change coming too fast to a society not accustomed to a market-based economy. For now, though, Noah says painting is his life, and he'll continue to capture the surreal world he lives in on canvas. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.